Good to be with you here this morning. I want to tell you, before we begin, how much I enjoy coming to smaller churches. I limit myself to preaching in different places, and all of them are small churches. I turn down the big ones. I preach in Oyen and Hannah, two in Three Hills, and here, and one other, and kind of confine myself just to those invitations, because I realize how important small churches really are. I was reminded of this when I was here for your men's breakfast a few weeks back, and there were a number of men there, I think about 18 or something like that, and a number there from the community. Some do go to another church, but some don't. And I thought, my, this is really, really good. And that's what small churches are. They're lighthouses. Yeah, we get concerned about attendance. I've never pastored a church that's been over 100. Maybe that's why I'm so passionate about the small church. I love the small church. It's like a big family, like a bigger family than just your own family. And when we shared prayer requests, that doesn't happen in the bigger churches. You just couldn't. It's a dynamic that isn't there, but it's here. When we have hurting people, the bigger churches have a real struggle at trying to minister to those people, whereas a smaller church does not. And so I want to encourage you this morning, don't feel blue about being a part of a small church. Be thankful. And this lighthouse that shines here and around, if it were gone, then that light would be dim or maybe even non-existent. So thank you for your faithfulness. And coming back here, I realize that there's a number of folk that were here when we pastored here. And Shannon, of course, is from Oyen, and I pastored their family for a number of years and worked with her mom and dad. So coming here is really special to me, and so I want to just say thank you for the invitation. I had an experience in regards to today's message that I had to come back to and remember because of how it occurred. I was reading a book by Dr. David Jeremiah. What Are You Afraid Of? Anybody ever read that book? And this message that I'm going to preach this morning, it was really impressed upon me by the Spirit. And I had nowheres where I was going to preach it, but I thought, well, sometime the Lord will open that door. And I sat down and I wrote it out. And that happens occasionally. Sometimes it's a wonderful occasion when that does occur, because usually it's a lot of work. But sometimes the Holy Spirit just gives you a message to preach. Well, in the invitation to come here, I had another one in mind that I was going to preach. And I came back to the realization that the Lord had already given to me the message he wanted me to preach. And that was done even though there was a considerable amount of time between he gave it to me and now. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. The title of today's message is When the Storm Rages. There is a verse in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25 that says, "Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor trouble from the wicked when it comes." Where does your mind go when you hear that verse? The immediate picture I have is Gaza and some of the less peaceful places that are right around the Middle East. I think of the Ukraine. And I think of the people who had nothing to say about the circumstances that they're in. I think about some of the terror that they face every day. Back in October of 1991, an incident occurred around a rather large fishing vessel called the Andrea Gale. Has anyone ever watched the movie The Perfect Storm? Some nod your head. You know, I've not been able to watch that movie, read stuff about it. It's just such a terrifying thing to have to experience. And the reason that that occurs, of course, and there was a man who actually wrote a book about that incident, and he explained it this way. He said, there's a weather front moving from Canada toward New England, and it's a high-pressure system. And there is remnants of the Hurricane Grace along the coast, and they are all moving in the same direction along the seaboard, or moving toward each other along the seaboard, converging together to make the worst conditions possible. And they call that the perfect storm. Sebastian Younger wrote the book, and it was made into a movie, starring George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg. But think for a moment. In life, there are a lot of perfect storms. I read this statement a while back, and I thought, oh, man, this is a real pessimistic statement. But here it is. It is, everyone is going into a storm, is in a storm, or coming out of a storm. And I thought, oh, man, that's pretty pessimistic. That's kind of a terrible way to look at life. But, you know, as I've grown older, I've seen the reality of that statement. We are either coming into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm, only to go into another one. And, of course, these circumstances over a lifetime, we realize it could be simply from finances. It could be relationships. It could be health. It could be work-related with our jobs. The reasons that these storms come upon us have many origins, and they do exist, and they are very real. And we sometimes feel like they are unreasonable, unsatisfactory, unjustified, and the effects of these things that come upon us sometimes bring us to that place of terror. And we say, what now? What did I ever deserve to do this? And it becomes something that is really pressing upon us. And fear, of course, is a part of that. And we fight to survive, to manage. And in the midst of all of that fear, of course, we have to focus ourselves on Jesus. And that's what this story is about. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read just a few verses to begin with. And starting in verse 35 through 37. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Let's stop there. Jesus is exhausted. He has been with the crowds, for a number of days, actually. And he's been ministering to the sick and bringing healing. He's been teaching. In fact, the crowds grew so much that he had to get into a boat and sit out on the lake and speak to them from there because they were pressing on him. We've had the fortune of being at that place in Galilee where Jesus was doing his teaching from the boat. And there are very large hills that go up from the Lake of Galilee. And the people would have been seated almost like an amphitheater. And when you're speaking from the boat, your voice just goes out to all these people very easily. So you can understand why Jesus used that situation, because there were hundreds of people, if not thousands, that were there to listen to him. But he had grown very weary and had done so as he wanted to continue his ministry to them. And then he says, it's time to go. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side. That's an important statement. Now, there's five important statements here, and I'm going to give them to you, and then I'm going to talk about them. First one, let us go over to the other side, as I've mentioned. The second one, verse 36, they took Jesus with them. And it says, just as he was. So, in all of his tiredness, no time to change clothes or to wash up or even go to the bathroom. They took him just as he was. And then it says, they left that place. That place that he had grown weary in ministry. And it says in verse 36 also that there were other boats with them. So even when he did get to wherever it was they were going, there was still going to be ministry to do because there were people along with him. And in verse 7, it says, a fierce gale arose. So we have now the picture of this storm. We were out on Lake Galilee, and it was very calm, very, very calm. And we were able to go out into the lake and have a communion service together, and it was a wonderful place to be. Later on that day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we were by the lake again as we went to the Temple of the Beatitudes, and I looked at the lake and I couldn't believe my eyes. The waves were at least 3 feet high. And what happens in the Lake of Galilee is that there's large, they call them mountains, but for us they would just be large hills. And the downdraft comes down these hills and meets the moisture coming up off of the Lake of Galilee. And within minutes, you can go from calm to a storm. And so this was a very good picture that Jesus is giving to us here of the Lake of Galilee. In Mark, he says in the Greek that the word here is furious squall. So you get the idea that it was something more than just a small storm. In the book of Matthew, he uses great seismos, which is a translation from the Greek. So it was a real bad storm. It was a perfect storm. It was about the worst as it could be. And you need to get that picture. So into that, we interject Jesus and the disciples. On top of all of the confusion and weariness, and they had been rowing and rowing and they weren't really going anywhere, darkness came upon them. So talk about bad after bad. This was really getting to be the worst day of their lives. And where was Jesus? Well, he was there. And he was so exhausted, he was having a snooze. He was sleeping. But it wasn't just a light sleep. He was in a dark, in a deep sleep, because they had to shout at him, maybe because of the waves and the wind and the storm, but they also had to shake him as well. So we can see that this storm was a very serious storm. It was sudden, and the disciples found themselves right in the midst of it. Now think for a moment. That is a good description of some of the circumstances that come upon us in life. They're thrust upon us. We didn't want them, didn't desire them, didn't deserve them. And yet, there we are in the midst of a storm. We see a very, very important truth here, and it's this. We can be in the middle of a perfect storm and be in the perfect will of God. Now let that sink in. Often we think that the reason that we have storms come into our lives is that we've sinned. We've done something wrong. Doesn't have to be that way at all. It is God's will. And we find ourselves in that perfect storm. Once again, we can be in the middle of a perfect storm and be in the perfect will of God at the same time. Don't forget that. We often chastise ourselves, get hard on ourselves, and we think, I guess maybe I deserve this one. Not necessarily true. We'll talk a little bit more about why storms come into our life as we conclude. So they heard Jesus say to them, this is the situation, let's go. Let's go to the other side. Now, even in that, there's a spiritual lesson in there. And I think the disciples missed this in the midst of the perfect storm. Did you catch it? Let's go to the other side. So they were already going to be safe. There was another side. And we often forget that. We get into the storm and we soon forget. Fear just takes over. But they obeyed. And they left their place of ministry and launched out into the Lake of Galilee. They did what Jesus asked them to do. That's how we know that they were in the will of God. And yet, they found themselves in this perfect storm. The Bible is quite clear on telling us that the Lord Jesus and our God does not keep us from perfect storms. He keeps us in the perfect storms. So storms of life will come. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We're going to get the works just like somebody else. I think of our brothers and sisters whom I heard talk about. We have a number of them that live in Three Hills from the Ukraine, and they're working there. One works in our bank, and one works in another spot in town. And I've had an occasion to converse with them and ask them about what's happening back home. And one of the first things they say, we didn't want this war. It was thrust upon us. We had to leave. I have family back there that I'm very concerned about. And they're afraid for. And that's a good illustration for us to realize that many times the storms that come upon us are not chosen by ourselves. They're forced upon us. We saw that in Jesus' life. Think back to the day when he rode a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And there were people who threw down palm trees. They threw down their coats for him, for the donkey to walk in as he entered. They were shouting and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Such a ruckus that the high priests were wondering what even was going on. And we wonder, well, this is certainly a wonderful event. Let's get on board. And yet, just a few days later, betrayed. A mock trial. Whipped, beaten, spit upon. Hung on a cross, experiencing physical death. Being in a garden, asking the Lord, take this cup from me, let it pass, if it is your will. Perfect storm. Jesus showed us that we can be in such a place. Three lessons that we learn here from these few verses. There is security in God's will. As long as we are in God's will, we can be secure in him. And know that even as the storm is on us, it's his will. He will see us to the other side. Number two, storms are not punishment for disobedience. They're often a result of obedience because we're where we were supposed to be. I remember when I started working at the New River's Edge camp. It was July the 1st. It was raining. Supposed to be people coming. We delayed having people come for a few hours because of the rain and the mud. And I'm standing in a ditch next to a place that contains the water for the camp. And it's snow coming down. And I said to the Lord, what am I doing here? This is a miserable place to be. And the Lord reminded me I was exactly where he wanted me to be. It turned out to be some kind of a day. We probably had 500 people there. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained some more. Mr. Leyendijk had his horses out, taking people for rides on their hay wagon. And he had a heart attack, and we had to get him to the hospital. I remember at the end of the day having to get the tractor out and pull people out of the lower field to get back onto the road. It was so muddy. When the speaker spoke, the rain was so heavy on the roof, they had to turn up the sound. You could hardly even hear the sound because of the roof anyway. It was a tremendous natural storm that had occurred. And yet God says, you're where I want you to be. So storms can be all around us, and you can still be in the center of God's will. Third thing, storms can be overwhelming, but it's still the safest place to be, because you're in God's will. Let's go on with verse 38. Let's see, 37, 30, yeah. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Look at the source of squelching the storm. It was Jesus. If there's any place to put our eyes when we're in a storm, it's on the storm. We forget about Jesus for a while, and then we get reminded and our focus gets right again. But they went to the right place. They went to Jesus for help. They had tried very, very hard to row with all their might to get them to shore, and they had made no headway. And they came to Jesus, and they said to him, "Don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're all dying?" I read this story about a circus, a trapeze artist. And he was asked the question, "Why do you use a safety net?" He said this. He said, "If there were no net, we would be very nervous and conscious that if we made a mistake, the result would be bad. So we use nets, and we take care of all of that worriness, and we dare to do what we ought to do." Well, the disciples were gripped by fear, and pushing all that fear aside and the facts of they were in this storm, they went over to Jesus and asked for his help. So it went from fear to astonishment just in a second, because Jesus squelched that storm. There is an evangelist from South America, Argentina. His name is Carlos Ortez. And this is what he said about this passage of Scripture. And I thought it was so good I had to put it in here. "We have security in God. When we are safe in his arms, we dare to attempt the great things for God. We dare to be holy. We dare to be obedient. We dare because we know the eternal arms of God will hold us if we fall." And I thought, man, that even explains about the trapeze artists. How fitting it is that our attention be drawn to Jesus. Now, we all believe in the power of God. We all believe in what God can do supernaturally and do some things that would be impossible for men to do. We all know that. It's up here. We see it all around us. We see it in creation. We see it in answers to prayer. We see it in good overcoming evil. We see it in the miracles that are maybe in our lives or around us. We see it in the healing from physical duress. And the list can go on and on. It's all around us. All the power of God is all around us. We just have to be refocused, reset, and look back. There's a man who is a missionary, John Patton, and in a story about his life, He was in the New Hebrides. And they hated this man because he preached Christ. And here's what happened to him one day. He had been threatened, and he was on the run, and he had these people coming after him to kill him. And he was hiding up in a tree while all of those on the ground were searching for him, and he couldn't be seen because of the leaves. And this is what he said about that instance. Whether the abiding consciousness of the presence and power of God in my life, my Savior, who else in all the world could have preserved me from losing my reason and perishing miserably? Talk about being in a perfect storm and being kept in a place where God kept him safe. So the disciples said to Jesus, "Don't you care that we perish?" Now let's go on, verse 39. We got up, rebuked the wind. He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Risen from a deep sleep. Now, when that happens to us, doesn't it take a while to kind of get reoriented? The deep sleep is sometimes hard to shake off, and we're out of focus. I don't know, maybe you're different than me, but sometimes I've woken up in a room and wondered, where am I? I've changed beds so many times in the last 3 days in different places, I wasn't even sure where I was anymore. Not so our Lord. He knows all about our circumstances. He knows about our storms. He's right there in the storm with us. He's not sitting on his outside looking in. And so the picture here is that when Jesus spoke and he said, "Peace, be still," the storm ceased. So even in the midst of the storm, we can still have peace inside. Just this week, I was reading about Hitler taking over Poland. And I found a paragraph that I thought was exceptional. "The only people who are out in the street as if nothing had occurred in Warsaw were shopping for bread and food. It was the Jewish people." I thought, how amazing is that? They're the ones, of course, that are going to be shipped off to camps, and of course they didn't know it at the time. But the population of Warsaw weren't out on the streets looking for bread, but the Jewish people were. Why? I think it's because they had the scriptures and they knew that even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of war, God could keep them safe. I want to conclude now. And I do want to go back to the next few verses here in chapter 4. Let's see here. Oh, that's in a different book. I'm going to leave that. I'm going to use some other scripture. So let's recap what we have studied. Number one, we can be in the midst of the worst storm and yet be in the center of God's will. We shouldn't forget that. Not all storms that come upon us are of our making. Second, there is security and safety in the storm when we realize that we're there and it's God's will that we be there. And I'll read a scripture in a moment that helps us to understand that. Third, Jesus is with us in this storm and he keeps us safe in his love and his presence can be felt. Shouldn't forget that. And last, he's going to bring us through to the other side. Now, it might take a while, but even in the midst of the storm, we can receive that calm, quiet spirit when he stills the storm within us. I want to leave you with three scripture passages that help us to understand all of this. Philippians chapter 4. Maybe you read this week in Daily Bread. I know we did in our home. But it's Paul talking about why he was in prison. So verses 12 to 14. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Then 1 Peter chapter 5. And he gives us this instruction, verses 12 and 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange has happened to you, but rejoice. That's kind of hard to do many times. Inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Attitude, very important. Perspective, very important. And praising God even for the very difficult circumstances. The last one is in Psalm. And it's Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Do not give in to fear. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for the knowledge from your word that even in the midst of very difficult circumstances and storms, you're there. You are there even ahead of us. Lord, I want to pray for anybody walking through a storm this morning. I think of my dear sister and friend Judy. And Lord, I lift her to you and I pray that in the midst of her storm that you will grant her peace and a calm spirit. And we're trusting you to bring her to the other side. Lord, perhaps there's others in this congregation who are experiencing health issues or financial issues or family relationship issues. Lord, I pray that you will help them to realize in the midst of all of this, you are there and you will bring them to the other side. So Lord, I pray in the midst of the difficulties that you will grant peace and quiet because your scriptures say that you do this for us. I commit them to your care. Lord, I pray that you will give them strength and courage. Help them to speak and to do what is right, and yet not to defend themselves, but to defend God. And so, Lord, we pray that your will would be wrought in each of these circumstances, and that you will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. We commit them to you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this church, this lighthouse, and this community. I do want to pray that you will help this light to continue to shine. Give them encouragement in their spirits. Help them, Lord, to realize that it is you who are in charge of all things, and we give you the praise for what you wish to do. In Jesus' name, amen.